And welcome to hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. And, you know, I'm kicking off this hour with two of my favorite folks. This is like a dive buddy dream. Jerry the Diver Guy and Eric Douglas. How are you guys? And welcome.
I'm doing peachy. Thank you.
Yeah. So, well, everything's going on, Jerry. And I'm doing good, Eric. It's good to hear you both. I probably should have intro'd you one at a time.
Jerry and our buddies, that's fine.
Yeah, we got
both Virginias covered, buddy.
Okay, absolutely. That's true. That's right.
Virginia and West Virginia.
Well, last hour I was covering the East Coast and West Coast of Florida. Now we're going up to Virginia and covering that accordingly. We got Jerry in the mountains and Eric down there on the coast, kind of. Or close enough, I guess, right?
Actually, you're backwards, but...
Right. Oh, okay. Well, wouldn't be the first time, would it?
He's never got it straight, Eric.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is he just needs to come up and visit us.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
That is true. I knew... But I got too much travel on my on the plan already. You hear what I'm saying? I got to go to the Maldives. And then I got to go...
There are no liveaboard dive boats in the Virginias.
There's not? No. Maybe Jerry, you sure there isn't? I have a feeling
we can make one.
Yeah, he'd do something like a Tom Sawyer raft or something. Yeah, that's the first liveaboard.
We can float down the mighty new river.
Yeah.
Ooh,
I'm hip. Might have come up with something.
I got the fun end of the new river up here, Jerry. We got the whitewater raft.
I got
up here.
The delicate end.
Well, you got the liveaboard end, right? So Jerry, you could actually do that. Set up a raft and call it a liveaboard. Virginia's first liveaboard dive vessel. Why not? I think it would fit right in with what you do, on the surface interval stuff. Like, right over here, that's where we made the 1973 best spring water ever. Yeah, it could be a whole tour thing. I'm just saying.
And then get shot at.
Yeah, well,
and
okay.
Get shot at.
Yeah, hey, that'd be an adventure for sure. All right, well, let's get back on track. Let's talk about some diving-related stuff. Before we get into some other places that we're going to go dive together. And that would be with Eric, because Eric is, he's an author. He not only does he dive and he writes about it in magazines and all kinds of stuff, he has these novels that he's written. And booksbyeric.com is a website to go check out and get the full list of everything. We're going to share some specials that he has going on this weekend and this coming week as well. But you got a new one. We got a premiere or talk about or announce today to the world. Eric, are you ready?
Absolutely. And just so you know, Scuba Radio listeners hear it first.
There you go. Absolutely. And he really writes great stuff. I mean, not to mention
the best.
That Lionfish book. Oh, my gosh. It was genius.
Need to back up to that.
Yeah.
Part.
Okay. Well, this
part
one.
Part two.
Is this a continuation of the Winthrow Key series, or is this a totally different thing you're putting out?
No, this is actually a continuation of the Mike Scott series.
Oh, okay.
This is a novella. It's about the third the length of a full novel.
Yeah.
So it would be a great beach read or surface interval read. A couple good hours. Maybe if you're flying somewhere and you need to kill a few hours on a plane before you get to your dive destination, this would be a great one for
you. Well, I plan to read it on my 11 and a half hour flight from L.A. to Tokyo on my way to the Maldives. So I think I'll be able to fit it in. Probably a couple times.
Something tells me you'll have time to read it.
Yeah. And but this one picks up. Does it pick up where the last Mike Scott novel left off, which was in Cayman?
If you remember right at the end of the last Mike Scott novel, and hopefully I'm not giving away spoilers, but Mike got shot by the bad guy and that whole thing.
Yeah.
So this is long enough after that he's had a chance to heal and go diving again.
Right.
This time he's actually in Curacao.
Ooh, okay.
Another one of my favorite islands in the Caribbean. And I can't, obviously without giving too much away, but there's a lot of action happens in a very short period of time on the island of Curacao.
Well, that's a cool little island. I would assume you've been there several times yourself doing research, as we say, right?
I have been there a couple times and had a blast every time I was down there.
Yeah. So has it been on your list to incorporate it, into one of these novels for some time? Or what?
That's exactly what. All the travel I've done over the years, I consider that location research. And I literally, every evening, come back to my hotel room and make notes about what I've seen and done and that sort of thing. So I've got another dozen novels I could write.
Yeah.
But, But yeah, no, I've wanted to do a story in Curacao. This one's called Oil and Water. So one of the interesting things about Curacao is it's right off the coast from Venezuela. Hmm. And there's actually an oil refinery right in the middle of the island because they take a lot of the oil from Venezuela and refine it and then ship it out. So, and that'll tell you one of the dynamics of the story right there.
Okay. Well, yeah, that I can kind of feel something developing as we speak, knowing how, he takes these novels in the past. There's an environmental undertone to them sometimes, so that would make sense. And but Curacao, part of the ABCs, the Antilles, Aruba, Curacao, Bonaire. Right. Is there any mention of Bonaire and
no? This
Aruba,
one's just purely set on Curacao, mostly up on the far end on the island, far away from Willemstad, although mm-hmm. there's quite a bit of action that happens in Willemstad as well. Yeah, it's beautiful. If you, I don't know if you've been to Curacao or not.
I have.
Curacao,
time ago.
Willemstad is a fantastic city that's that colonial Dutch architecture and everything, and it's really cool.
Yeah.
But it has a Caribbean vibe to it.
It has a Caribbean vibe, and then there's like wooden shoes or something. Is that maybe?
There are wooden shoes.
Yeah. I vaguely remember this. In between the Amstel Brights. They have Amstel.
Absolutely.
It's a Dutch Antilles island, correct?
Exactly.
Well, there you go.
Exactly.
Yeah, Amstel Bright. I thought that was like a light beer, and then I found out, no, this is brewed with sugar. It's like double the calories. Oh, my God, but it was good.
But it's good. And actually, there's a brief discussion in the story about the little 8-ounce cans.
Because, is it?
You know, okay. That's so hot down there that they always, they give you small cans so that they don't get warm when you're sitting outside.
Ah, fair enough. That makes sense. Yeah. Okay. I'm hooked. I'm ready. I got to read this. So it's a novella. So are we talking about 100 pages versus 300 thereabouts, something like that?
That's exactly what it breaks down to.
Okay.
Right at 100 pages.
Yeah. More my speed. I like these quick ones. but that'll be cool. And that is going into pre-release this coming week, starting what, Monday? Is that what it was? Or is it out now?
Yeah, exactly. We're doing pre-order on the Kindle version on Monday, Monday the 8th.
Yeah.
And then the actual story will be available. You'll be able to get it or download it or buy the softcover version on Friday the 12th.
Okay.
But here's the catch. If you pre-order it, it's actually going to be less expensive for you than were you to wait till it's available to everybody.
Uh-huh.
So there's another benefit for being a Scuba Radio listener.
Save a few bucks. There you go. So what do you do? Go to booksbyeric.com and pre-order there, or go to Kindle or what? Or Amazon? What is it?
The links will be on my website on booksbyeric.com, or you can just go straight to Amazon and say, Oil and Water, Eric Douglas, and that'll pull it up.
Okay, fair enough. Now, you're also running a special this weekend of all the Mike Scott novels? Is that what's going on, or a package of them?
Exactly.
Or something?
Through Sunday evening, I have what's called a box set. So it's actually the first five novels, plus two short stories thrown in there.
Yeah.
And that's on sale through Sunday night. Hmm. I wanted to, for those of the two listeners out there who haven't read all of the Mike Scott stories, I wanted to give them a chance to get into it at a, even better price.
Yeah.
So through Sunday night, Mike Scott box set is on sale. And then Monday through Wednesday, we're doing the last novel, which is not in the box set. It's called Return to Cayman.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on sale Monday through Wednesday during the pre-order, and then Oil and Water goes on sale Friday.
We're nice. Okay, so and you don't necessarily have to do them in order. However, I would advise it. It would be good, and you will thoroughly enjoy these books that Eric has written. They're very entertaining, quick reads, but really cool how he incorporates his diving experience. And as a scuba diver, if you're certified and you like doing this thing, you're listening to this show, chances are you're probably digging it. You're going to love these books because it's really going to hit home. And booksbyeric.com, great stuff. All right, what do you say we switch gears and talk about some diving that we're planning to do and maybe some things we've done in the past? You guys up for that?
Sounds good.
Okay, that's coming up next on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their live aboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExploreVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explore Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explore Ventures the official live aboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explore Ventures does the live aboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Divers in the Know Dive with Dan. Divers Alert Network. DAN is the industry's largest association dedicated to scuba diving safety and has served divers for over 30 years. DAN provides emergency assistance, medical information, educational opportunities, trip insurance, and more. Whether you're just learning scuba or a veteran, a DAN membership just makes good sense. Sign up and take advantage of the many benefits DAN offers by going to dan.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
Surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
And time now for our final 30, an underwater art museum. Divers installing a dozen pictures on an artificial reef 90 feet below the Keys in Florida.
Let's take a dive, torpedo girl.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. I'm with Jerry the Diver Guy and Eric Douglas. They're both in Virginia. Well, one's in West, one's in just Virginia. You take your pick which one's which. I don't remember. But it doesn't really matter because we have that common bond of diving. Do we not, guys? Come on.
Absolutely.
Yes. All right. That's so, right. You know, we've talked about Eric's latest releases, Oil and Water. You can pick it up, start pre-ordering it this week at booksbyeric.com. But let's talk about some diving. I mean, Eric is also, if you've heard the show over the last few weeks, he's been recovering from five-way bypass surgery. So he's just getting back in the water. And you've already done a dive. Is that the deal? Or you did one this past weekend or this past week?
Just a couple days ago. Nice. You know, Greg, I learned to dive in the mountains of West Virginia in a lake called Summersville Lake.
Yeah.
And literally people travel from all over the region to come dive in that lake.
Really?
And so I decided to go back. I wanted my first dive back in the water. To be back there, and actually I got to do a couple dives with my dad, so that was really cool.
Oh, that's excellent. So, well, tell me about this dive. I mean, so this is the place you got, like, checked out and the whole thing, or what?
I did my first 60 dives in Summersville Lake before I ever made a dive in the ocean. I'd certainly been to the ocean, but I had never been scuba diving in the ocean. So I did 60 dives in that lake. It's actually where I went through my whole dive master program and everything else. It's a beautiful lake. Depths upwards of 300 feet or so. So there's some guys go up there and do technical training and that sort of stuff. But,
Wow. You
know, for me, especially up there, there's a pretty significant thermocline, about 40 feet.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we stay in the light zone in that upper 30, 35 feet and just to watch the fish. There's actually a small boat up there that was sunk for divers to climb around on and, you know, watch the get to watch the smallmouth bass that the bass
yeah.
that the fishermen wish they could get a hold of.
Right,
and,
right.
Just, it's fun.
Hmm, nice. So, well, Casey was telling me about some tanks they sank off the west coast of Florida. They got anything unique there in this Somerville Lake other than a boat or two or no?
There's actually a garden of concrete lawn ornaments in one area that you can go dive around. Not quite as big as the art installations that you have
like
down in Florida.
Mini trolls or something from like Travelocity?
Exactly.
Okay. Well,
exactly.
Yeah. Interesting. I've seen a few of those in quarries and things like that. They get quite creative, whatever they can do.
They absolutely do.
To entertain the divers. So, I mean, how did you feel after being out of the water for so long? Were you a little apprehensive after the surgery and all that stuff,
you know,
too, or what?
I've been working really, really hard. So, I'll be honest with you, I'm in better shape than I've been in 10, 15 years.
I tell you what, I've seen your pictures on Facebook, and you're looking lean and mean, my friend. Hats off to you.
Yeah, I've been working my tail off.
And but, I mean, you know, that in a totally plutonic way, you know, but I'm just saying.
But, you know, I was certainly there was a moment or two of, all right, you know, so here we go. But, you know, I just and it's a shore entry dive where we were. So, I just float out in the water. And then when you're ready, let the air out and yeah. start swimming. And it was cool. It was exactly what I needed to break that ice.
Yeah. There you go. Nice little introduction.
One of those.
Yeah. Felt
exactly.
like home.
You know, you don't care if you see anything. You're just blowing bubbles and floating and, yeah, back underwater.
Now, what kind of viz do you get at Somerville Lake? Especially this time of year, it's probably the best that it has, I would imagine. Am I right?
Exactly. Yeah. Probably, you know, 20 to 30, actually.
Okay.
It's actually a pretty decent lake, especially up in that light zone. It gets dark and cold pretty quick. But,
yeah. Like how cold?
Up in the 50s.
Oof. So at the surface, though, it's not at the 50s.
Oh, no. In the surface, it's 75 to 80.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost too warm to wear a wetsuit, but you know better than to not.
Yeah. Because you get down there, hit that thermocline, is it like immediate and like, oh, my God!
It's an ice cream headache that feels like it's going to split your head in half.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, but you were just doing, what, a wetsuit type thing? Three mil?
Yeah, exactly. Just 3 mil wetsuit and just splashing around.
Stay shallow.
And it's actually cool. My birthday was just a week or so ago, and my dad's birthday is actually tomorrow. So this was kind of a birthday dive for both of us as well.
Excellent. All right. So do you have plans to take it to the next level and do some real diving? We were going to try to hook up there in at Bugfest. But, you know, it didn't work out.
It didn't work out, and I was bummed about that. But, I don't have any solid plans yet. But, you know, maybe the good people of Curacao will invite me down for a trip.
A book signing party.
Exactly.
I think they should. You know, or maybe, well, you know, we got Vegas coming up in November. That's too far away. We can do something sooner than that.
Somewhere this fall, we need to go get in some salt water.
Yeah. I mean, I keep flirting with the idea of running over to Lake Mead and doing something around the DEMA show. But, golly, we get all these divers together, and when they're not diving, they have a tendency to drink like fish. And then, you know, I was like, oh, yeah, I don't want to mess with that. You know, I don't want to dive after I'm hanging with these guys.
I have the perfect solution for both of you.
Oh, okay. Jerry the Diver Guy, to the rescue. What is it?
We can both go to North Carolina.
North Carolina. Well, that's
all
where...
Right.
Okay.
You doing Wilmington, or where are you going?
Oh, well, Moorhead. We can do Moorhead. We can do Wilmington.
And Moorhead's probably better.
What, do the wrecks and stuff there where they get
the
sand tigers?
Do the wrecks and see the... sand tigers.
Oh. Yeah. This is also, isn't this the time of year when sometimes they'll see the great whites, or is that in the winter? Yeah, off the coast.
It can vary. I mean, it's a lot of times it's in September.
Yeah.
You'll see some every now and then coming through, but the viz, you'll have 100-foot viz right now.
Mm.
So
with the sand tigers, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Well, and it's actually pretty warm because the Gulf Stream comes in this time of year.
Yep.
Yeah, now I thought the sand tigers lived on the wreck, but I was talking to Peter Buzzicott at the Bugfest by the Sea thing last week, and we had him on the show, and he had just done that dive. And I said, oh, you went to do the sand tigers. He goes, well, we did, but they didn't show that day. So, I don't know.
They had another appointment.
Maybe.
They had another wreck to visit.
Exactly. They were on vacation down in South Florida or something that weekend. I don't know. But I thought they were there. I thought they resided there all the time. But evidently, that's not the case, I guess, huh? I mean, have you done that before, both of you guys?
I've done several different dives or several different locations out of North Carolina and seen sand tigers most of the time. But yeah, I mean it's
not guaranteed.
Nothing's guaranteed.
You might can go now and see two or three, and go tomorrow and see 20.
It just depends on the day.
Yeah.
Okay, I gotcha. Well, yeah, I need to mark that one off the list for sure. And
while we're there, we can run over and visit Dan.
The Divers Alert Network. Network. I like that idea. Maybe we can make that happen. That's a good idea. Now I got the Maldives I got to do, then I got a short little break, and then I got to go to Alaska, and then I got some free time. So
September bound, let's go.
September might work. It sounds interesting. All right, let me mull this over. We'll come up with a few more ideas and maybe give you some as well. That's coming up next on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.